Radio Newark Sport. Brought to you with Smith's Timber Merchants. For all your fencing, decking and DIY needs on Appleton Gate, Newark. Visit smithstimber.co.uk.
So it looks like winter's here, but don't worry too much. By the weekend, it will have gone again. And that, of course, marks the end of this sporting week with its highs and lows and the beginning of the next one. I wonder what's going to happen. So you start with two middle-aged-ish chaps, one guide to football grounds of England, and a sat-nav. And you end up with an evening of boys' own stories of great days out, stale pies, and more than the odd disaster. Welcome back to Sport Towers, to our roving football fans, Chris Bateson and Pat Douglas. And as it's Thursday, we're going to take that look at what's happening at the weekend, both locally and a bit further afield, and find out where these two guys are going. We're going to take a quick look at the national news, a look at the local news, and fall out about something with Tony Smith. I'm Rick Bradley. He's actually made it on time tonight. He's Tony Smith, and this is the unique Radio Newark Sport. And apparently we're going to start with a, I'm not sure what Tony did call it, a kiss and tell.
No, all right.
Ah, faders. Well, almost professional now.
Not for long.
Show and tell.
Show and tell. Okay, then. Go on, then. Show me and tell me.
Here you are. This is from one of our listeners.
We have a letter.
It's a card.
We have a card. It's a Christmas card.
A Christmas card
for a listener. That proves we're the number one show because nobody else has brought a Christmas card. Yes, I will open it in a moment. Playing with me dials. I will open it in...
I thought you'd have grown out of that.
In just one moment. Headlines, then I'm going to do the Christmas card. If you're good enough, you're old enough. You know the old saying, don't you? Right. A 14-year-old lad has played his first match in goal for Glenarvan FC in the Irish League. Conor Bryan made his debut for the Lurgan team as they triumphed against local derby rivals Portadown on Monday night to reach the Mid-Ulster Cup final. 14 years old! It's not bad going, is it?
No. How did he get on?
It doesn't tell you the result. So I don't think it was probably very good.
He had to go home at half time.
He had his own work to finish.
Bedtime.
I've opened a Christmas card to all the staff at Radio New York Station, from Sharon Creasy and John Kemp, but particularly the sports guys, because they're the best. Thank you, Sharon. Thank you, John. We really appreciate it. Isn't it the card?
It doesn't say because the sports guys are the best, does it, Mick?
It does in my world. That's very kind of you. Thank you. Thank you so much. That's absolutely wonderful. One sport, Tony, that we don't talk about much on Radio New York Sport is sumo wrestling.
Really?
But I thought after...
Sounds like it's been right up my street.
Well, you're built for it.
Built for it, exactly.
I thought after the Johnny Burstow bit earlier on in the week, sumo grand champion Hamavuski, or something like that, has said he will retire from the sport in a scandal that has rocked Japan's highly ceremonial sport. He's been investigated for an alleged assault on a junior wrestler. He said he apologised from his heart to his fans, the governing body of the sport, and to his wife for causing such trouble. The Mongolian wrestler started his career in Japan at the age of 16 and was promoted to Grand Champion, or Yokozuna, sumo's highest rank, in 2012. According to reports, This young wrestler was listening to his mobile phone when he should have been concentrating on what he was told, and the star got angry, and the young wrestler has been hospitalised suffering from concussion and a fractured skull base in the incident. I had heard that he was lacking in manners and civility and thought it was my duty as a senior wrestler to correct him and teach him, but I went too far.
What did it, by headbutting him?
Well, you know, this is it, you see. This is Yorkshire headbutt of yours.
Well, I think Johnny Bairstow is probably the best butter in Yorkshire.
No, that's batter.
Ah, batter.
I've got two comedians in the studio now. It's getting worse by the minute.
No, we've got one that's just Chris.
England's James Anderson asked the umpire if Australia's bowling was dangerous during the first Ashes test. Anderson, England's number 11, was batting when number 10 batsman Jake Ball received five successive bounces in the second innings. Under the laws of the game, and this is what you should know, the umpires are allowed to intervene if they deem the bowling to be dangerous. I mentioned it to the umpire, but he didn't think it was too bad, Anderson told a BBC Sport. We know we're going to get a barrage, and that's what we're going to have to put up with. As you well know, Tony, Law 41.6.1 of the Laws of Cricket reads that the bowling of short pitch deliveries is dangerous if the bowler's end umpire considers that, taking into consideration the skill of the striker, by their speed, length, height and direction, they are likely to inflict physical injury on him or her. The fact that the striker is wearing protective equipment shall be disregarded. If the umpire decides that the bowling is dangerous, he can call no ball, warn the bowler, and if he offends again, remove him from the attack. Jonathan Agnew says the treatment dished out to Jake Ball, five deliveries all aimed at his head, should have been called intimidatory by the bowlers. Mr. Smith, you're the umpire.
Yeah, too right. You go by the laws of the game. And that was one of the first things I queried on my umpire's course at Trent Bridge. Aren't you allowed two in an over? And the answer was, from a fully qualified umpire that has probably forgotten more about the laws of the game than I know, he said, it's down to you. It's not to a game. It depends on the local rules, local laws, how they're applied. But in general, it depends on whether you think it's intimidatory. And that's irrespective whether he's got an arm guard or whether he's got a helmet or whether he's got a chest pad or all the sort of, you know, stuff in the world. It depends on the ability of the batsman facing the bouncers.
So bowling five bouncers on the trot, at the number 10 batsman.
At the tail ender.
Is obviously...
Should have been stopped after the second one.
Poor umpiring.
Yeah.
Poor umpiring. Local headlines. And it was Ladies' Day in Chesterfield for the Clan Marathon. Six very courageous new striders took to the hills of Derbyshire. First home was Danielle Forsey, followed by Dawn Johnson, Philippa Clark, one of our guests, of course, Natalie Harrison, Nicole Henderson and Natalie Sellers. New York Athletic Club's Andy Welshman and Becky Gallup made a return to the East Midlands Cross Country League on Sunday. Becky coming second in the ladies' 3 mile event and the 35th in the men's race. And New York Swimming Club's Jessica Reed achieved no less than 5 Midlands qualifying times at the weekend's Boston Open, while Amelia Gibson smashed county qualifying times at the Retford Open. And as Neil Bilton told us the other day, Newark Swimming Club looking very strong at the moment, and the first part of 2018 looked good.
This is Radio Newark Sport.
Didn't she beat one qualifying standard by 22 seconds?
22 seconds, yes.
Yeah.
So, a couple of young ladies there that we're going to look out for in 2018. Before we get on to our main subject of the night, which is these two running around the country trying to find football grounds, Pat, I just want to just talk Collingham with you for a couple of minutes, if I may.
Yes.
While it's well documented that FlowServe are doing very well with their mixture of Newark and Nottingham players, and Newark Town are struggling terribly, in the background, without anybody really even noticing, Collingham's put an exceptionally good side together that's operating in the top four or five of that Central Midlands, which is one of the toughest Step 7 leagues in the country. And from what I understand, the Collingham catchment area, which is basically Collingham to Lincoln, the villages, is where these lads are coming from, and most of them have come through the Collingham youth ranks, Pat.
Yeah, well, Paul Hyde, the manager's come back, and he just managed to pull rabbits out of the hat, and he's got his finger on the pulse with local players. From that, the young lads are coming through now, and, you know, it's bearing fruit. I think there were a couple from Mike Goodwin's under-16s last year, Scott Wilkinson, Sam Goodwin played, good lads coming through, and they didn't look out of place, to be honest, Mike, but it's getting a young man's game, as you know.
And they're doing this all on the... It just seems to have gone under the radar, doesn't it?
Yeah, it does, yeah. Like I say, Paul's got a vast knowledge of local lads, he's got some good contacts round there, and he's just got that habit, and lads seem to like playing for him. He understands football, he's a football man, and it's nice to see, it's nice to see him playing. I just wish I could be out there myself, mate.
Are you still managing?
No,
teams, you
just the walking football.
Just the walking football.
Yeah, playing the walking football.
And of course you do play the walking football at Collingham as well, don't you?
Yeah.
Because I was talking to some of the guys from the Grantham walking football, and it's Newark seems to have missed on this one somehow, because it's very, very strong in Grantham. You're doing it, but I haven't yet picked up on anything in the town of Newark itself. I may be wrong.
There doesn't seem to be, Mike, but we do it on every other Sunday morning, and we've got a nucleus of about 20 lads on the books from all ages, ranging up to 80. And, you know, it's quite popular, but they don't all come at one time, and then we run a ladies' session before. But, you know, we could always do with more coming along. There just seems to be a dearth of people in Newark that, you know, want to take it up. We keep advertising all around the local areas and local magazines, but, you know, anybody out there wants to come along, they're more than welcome.
We're going to talk to Jerry Williams, or we're going to be talked to by Jerry Williams in the new year. And the question I've got for Jerry, and it is really one question. You've got a fantastic senior team at Collingham, which is doing very, very well. You've got your all-weather surface now in place and doing what it should do, bringing money in. The junior setup is second to none. You're a little village 7 miles away from Newark, and Newark can't do it.
I know, it's amazing, really.
It's unbelievable.
Yeah, yeah. You know, it's a shame, really. Newark, really, you know, as we all know as football people, they ought to have their own team and be a strong team with a nice ground, but it's not to be. But, you know, it's down to hard work and, you know, a lot of volunteers that are putting the effort in. You know, a lot of time people don't realise when they take a team on what's involved in running a team. But obviously we could always do with a bit more space. And if that backfield was a mugger, then or a 3G pitch, it would be a real bonus for us. Because obviously with the number of teams coming through, then, you know, we're running out of space a little.
It's next on the agenda. Okay, let's... We're going to really concentrate after 7:30 on your two's journeys. Pat Douglas and Chris Bateson, they came and talked to us earlier on in the year about their trips out and about, because they've both played football in the town. They've both managed, they've both been on committees, they've both and everything, and now they're actually doing what they're enjoying, just getting out there and doing it. Before that, I know you don't go very often to the biggest grounds, do you? You're not great fans of the Premier Division matches, that sort of thing.
Nope.
I think that answers that question, Chris. Man of few words. interestingly enough, and this is a sort of a Geordie slant on this one, where I've picked this one up from, that St James's Park has been chosen as England's second favourite football ground in a survey by supporters. Thousands apparently voted, and United's Cathedral on the Hill won praise for its city centre location, imposing structure and fabulous atmosphere. But I've read down this list of favourite football grounds to go, and I mean, I've been to the new, and I've been to the old Newcastle when I was chased out of it.
I've been there once, and it's a totally different ground, and all I saw was thousands of them rushing across the pitch towards me.
That's when I started to run. The great story of that one is the fact that was chased around Newcastle before the game started, was chased around Newcastle after the game started. When we got the bus back to Catterick for a drink, a busload of Leeds United fans turned up. That was a day to remember.
They didn't have a game.
At least you saved the best till last.
Oh. Yeah. Apparently the best ground to visit in England is the Emirates Stadium.
Why?
Yeah, it's glamour, isn't it? I mean, people are focused towards those grounds because it's on telly, it's very expensive, how many hundreds of millions. But a ground is more than just a physical structure, isn't it?
Yes, it is.
It's, I'd disagree, you know, totally. In fact, I'll tell you what mine is, and you'd be surprised. A ground that was built for the community, within the community area, it knew what size to build it because they knew what kind of support they're going to get. They built it, as I said, for locals in mind. It's got great aesthetics. It's right in the town centre. Rotherham United.
Yeah. All right.
Brilliant. Okay. Absolutely brilliant place to go to.
These are the top 10.
Go on then.
Right. One is the Emirates. Two is St James Park. Three is the container terminal at Old Trafford. That's what it is. It's a container park. The fourth favourite ground in the country to visit is Craven Cottage.
It's character. Yeah, I mean, I'll go with that. I mean, because it's got history. And it's got something unique about it. It's like the Portsmouth, isn't it? It's got something unique about it.
And you've got a lovely walk along the river on the way to the game.
Yeah, great, yeah. Boat race is going on. Fantastic.
Number five is Villa Park.
Oh, no. Oh,
dear. I agree with you. Dear. I totally agree with you. Number six is Anfield.
Yeah, right.
Number seven is Goodison Park.
Oh, that's even... Oh, come on. Okay, it's got a church in the corner. Great, you know.
Number eight, and again, I can't believe this, is the Amex Stadium at Brighton.
Do you know, I've not been to, have we?
No.
But
number nine is the Etihad, and ten is Hillsborough.
Well, there's no... Hillsborough? Mm. That's worn.
Probably that's because it's nice. Probably, you know. Mm. He's worn. Look, you know, but people like him.
Surely, if you're going to sort of do a survey like that, it does include atmosphere. How the hell is the Emirates number one? Because it's rubbish. I mean, it's a prawn sandwich brigade taken to the extreme. And it looks horrible.
Do you know, I'm stopping myself saying things here.
don't worry about it. Say it. I get into trouble.
Oh,
but say it. Just go for it. That's what we do on this show.
Who's voted? I mean, let's face it. Who's voted? Keyboard warriors, you know, who from the out of Edbridies has been a Man United fan all their lives, you know. I mean, come on, you know.
They should visit FC United to get a bit of atmosphere.
Exactly.
Oh, don't start talking about that.
Yeah.
Salford City's the team.
We had a visit to Salford City. Don't laugh. Don't laugh. I'll talk about that. It's brilliant a day out. £2 to get in. Rip off, wasn't it?
Is that the new Salford City ground or the old?
We haven't been to the new one yet. Yeah. We hope to go soon. So, But it was a fantastic atmosphere. Yeah. Great place to go.
Right, we're going to have a quick look at what's coming up this weekend, and then we're really going to settle into what you two have been up to this year. Okay, what's on this weekend? First of all, the weather is supposed to be a little bit warmer by the weekend, so we hope that everything's going to go off as planned. Not that the weather's going to be bothering Natalie Blake at all. She's now finally got to Mexico for the World Championships, which was called off a few months ago because of that earthquake. So Natalie's there. She's safely there. She's settled into the hotel, and she starts a bit of fitness training next couple of days, ready for next week when it's... the World Championships for her. It's absolutely fantastic. Saturday, North Midlands Cross Country for our Newark AC members. It's more like cross country weather, isn't it? I'm sure they'll enjoy that. Ruddington v Flowserve.
Oh, yes, I'll be there.
I'm sure Flowserve won't enjoy that. They'll win, but it's not a nice afternoon. Rugby, Newark Rugby Club are at home to Ashbourne. And after last week, the highs of beating Southwark, means nothing if you get beat at home to Ashbourne, does it? You've got to keep it going.
My father-in-law played for Ashbourne. There's not many people who can say their father-in-law was a hooker.
It's the last one this week, folks. Don't worry too much.
Yeah.
Hockey, on Saturday it's just the men, and they travel to Leicester, looking for that first victory of the season. Newark Town are at home to Bentley, that's Station Road, that will be a 3 o'clock kickoff. And Flowserve reserves are away to Bridgeford United in the Notts Junior Cup, I think, quarter-final.
Hmm.
You're supposed to be connected to the club.
Yeah.
Okay. Moving on.
I just concentrate on the first team, yeah, I'm afraid.
Glory hunter. swimming, the Notts ASA Championships at the RV Haddon Stadium. On Sunday, the Rugby Colts are away to Moderns, and the Hockey Ladies first team are at home to Linden in the second round of the Cup. Remember, in the last round, they beat the all-conquering Burton by 4-0. So, Cup success might be on the horizon here. Of course, it's a big day for Newark Rowing Club on Sunday as well, where their annual Head of the River competition, which has doubled in size since 2016, and they expect more than 450 competitors from as far afield as Bradford, Birmingham and York to be on the Trent on Sunday morning. And if it's no better than this, the best of luck to them. Mm. Going a little bit further around, and this is probably where these lads are going to turn up on at the weekend. It's the third round of the FA Vars.
Oh, yeah.
One Nottinghamshire team left in the competition. Who's the one Nottinghamshire team in the competition?
Don't know.
You're rubbish. Worksop Town. They're away to Pontefract.
Second in table, third.
There you are. See, these guys know. Yeah. Right, so that should be an absolute cracking game. And there's one Lincolnshire team left in the competition. Now it's gone quiet, hasn't it?
Somewhere further north.
Yeah, it's not Wisbeach, is it?
No. Deep in Rangers.
Rangers
will play away to Hinckley. In the third round of the competition.
What stage is that? How many are left in it?
64. And where I always want to have a look at, being this is a local sports programme, Whitley Bay are playing away to West Auckland.
His geography is rubbish.
And Newcastle Benfield are playing North Shields, which is two games I shall keep my eyes open. That's it's the FA Cup second round this weekend. We do like to keep our eye on the FA Cup. We've lost the way on who we support, but we do like to keep our eye. Notts County are playing Oxford City, so really Notts County should be in the third round draw.
Oh, sure, yes.
Well, they should be.
No.
Running away with Division 2.
Yep.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And what's Oxford City?
They're in the Conference South.
Yeah, there you go. That's at least two divisions between them.
Yeah. We'll come to that. That's the question when you've finished.
The longest journey I found in the second round of the FA Cup is Carlisle, who seem to be going to Gillingham. That's been an awful long day out, even by your two standards.
It is if they lose. That's a miserable course journey back, isn't it?
Yeah.
The big boys against the little boys, apart from Notts County against Oxford City, Coventry City playing Boreham Wood.
That's a tough one again.
Yeah. Boreham Wood beat Blackpool, didn't you, in the last round?
Do you remember last season? I got my dream FA Cup draw when Notts County was drawn against Boreham Wood. So it was Boreham Wood against Boreham Stupid.
The local derby of the round, I found, Doncaster v Scunthorpe.
Yeah, Fylde and Wigan.
Yeah,
Fylde and Wigan. Yeah,
yeah. Well, I didn't know where Fylde was, so I couldn't pull that in.
Near Blackpool.
Yeah,
I went there once. And Mansfield are playing Guiseley, so Mansfield should also be in the third round of the Cup.
We saw Guiseley 2 weeks ago at Accrington Stanley. They were brilliant. They beat Stanley.
Extra time and a man down. Yeah, played all second half and extra time with 10 men, and they still won.
I would say Fortress Field Mill, but it's not Field Mill anymore, is it? It's got a
Swan Call.
Silly new name for it now, haven't they?
It's the same as Chesterfield, isn't it?
Why do they have to keep? I know it's money, but it's right.
Mind you, Chesterfield is vastly improved from the old Saltergate, isn't it?
Oh yeah, yeah.
Northern Counties East League. Some of our local times: Clipston are at Liversedge. Clipston storage for the first point of the season. Renneth play Bottisford Town, or Bottisford Town is not this one; it's the one near Scunthorpe. Emily play Retford. Warsborough Bridge play Ollerton. In the Notts Senior League South, are at home to Underwood Villa. And the United Counties, Sleaford are at home, Harrowby are away, and Bourne are away at Huntingdon Town. So wherever you want to go footballing this weekend, there are plenty of matches to go and see. Yes, Mr.
Put you on the spot. Why is Ruddington rubbish?
Ruddington are not actually rubbish. It's the actual ground.
Why is Ruddington?
There's nowhere to park. If you're the fifth car there, you won't be able to park. Is one. Two, when you leave the ground, you'll be 4 foot taller than when you went on there because it's that tacky. And three, it's a small ground with houses on two sides of it and you just feel totally enclosed. It's not. It was never one. Nothing wrong with the people of Ruddington. Don't get me wrong.
I got a sneaky feeling Tony Smith's going to come up with a gem here.
No, not at all.
That's the thing that worries me all the time. That's why I'm going to do the Nationals.
Radio Newark Sport, brought to you with Smith's Timber Merchants for all your fencing, decking, and DIY needs.
David Silva has signed a new one-year contract extension at Manchester City. It keeps the Spain playmaker at the club until the summer of 2020. And at that point, he will have been with Manchester City for a decade. Crystal Palace manager Roy Hodgson says they're lucky to have such passionate fans. But the trouble at Brighton shows a small number of them are taking it too far. The Premier League club says it will ban anyone involved in trying to force their way into this week's game on the South Coast without any tickets, which left two stewards injured. Turnstiles were closed for security reasons, leaving some supporters who had already paid stuck outside. Tough luck.
Radio Newark Sport, brought to you with Smith's Timber Merchants for all your fencing, decking and DIY needs on Appleton Gate, Newark. Visit smithstimber.co.uk.
I've got one for you. Lionel Messi has just signed a new contract at Barcelona. 4 years, £500,000 a week, and he's got a buyout clause for any clubs interested of £662 million.
When you're the best, you're the best. Or in Messi's case, when you're the second best, you're the second.
I think that's ruled out Berwick Rangers.
Yeah, we're talking football. Okay, guys, we've got you to talk about where you've been in 2017 since you last come in, and you've very efficiently supplied me with a list, and the list goes back to 2014.
Yeah, that's when we started.
And it also proves to me that Chris has done more miles than Pat, because Chris has got that one in.
No,
he says it here. 11,093 to 10,920.
You take last weekend's visit to St Ives out of it. 149. We're about the same after all those years. Well, we just sort of like.
To be honest, it's remarkable how close that is. Yeah. When I go to St Ives, it's 300 and something miles.
No, St Ives near Cambridge.
Yeah, I thought you meant the proper one.
Nah.
Okay, let's just do 2017-18. We'll start at the end, if you like, because it's when that's coming. Where have you been this season? Why is Plymouth in green?
Well, one's in green, so I'm still doing the 92. I started it in the 1970s and then gave up when family and kids came along. And then I was in the 60s, late 60s, and then when you work out how many new grounds there are, it went down to about 38. So I'm just building up again now. I'm back up to about 70. So the ones in green are actually league grounds. So I've done only two this year. That's Plymouth and Accrington Stanley.
So was the Plymouth a joint?
No,
or was it a supposed holiday?
I think Pat's played at Plymouth, haven't you, when you were at Shrewsbury, yeah.
Shrewsbury.
He's from Shrewsbury, so he knows.
Depends which side of the river you live. The posh side is Shrewsbury.
Well, there you go, then. That's it.
That's a definition.
First time Mick's ever been posh.
No, I was on holiday in Cornwall, and it was a Friday night, and I said to Barbara, I says, what do you fancy doing tonight? She says, I don't know, something... quiet. Oh, let's go and watch Plymouth then. So we drove into them. Yeah, I know how to treat girls. Don't worry.
you've stuck pretty religiously to non-league.
Yeah. We will go to league grounds as and when, you know.
I've converted him, Mick, because I'm from the lower leagues with Shrewsbury. We were in the lower leagues, and then obviously running aside, I could only get to local non-league grounds. And of course, Chris was the top end of the scale, where he was following Forest for all those years, and he was at the top. So we came into the middle, and I've gradually converted him to go where we can turn up probably at 2:45, get parked, have a drink, watch a game, have a chat with the officials before the game, and enjoy a game between two teams who just want to play football. And very often, the players, you can have a conversation when the ball goes out of play, you're that close to them.
And even when we went to Accrington Stanley, we met two other guys from Lincoln, didn't we?
Yeah, I can't remember their names.
Oh, you see Montelli, was it Cowley Brothers or something? Yeah,
that it was, yeah.
I really want to talk about you two, but I mean, they took Lincoln from nowhere. Last season will be one for the memory bank, and but Lincoln are doing
okay
this season. They're doing the bit. Why do Premier Division clubs keep going back to people like Allardyce, Pardew and Hodgson? They've had the time.
Leave the cows at Lincoln. Let's start a campaign.
Yeah, I know, but why are... They're just not brave enough, are they?
Well, you mentioned it earlier, and as I said, one of the reasons why we do go to a lot of non-league grounds is a theory we have, is that over the last decade, maybe more, there's more and more foreign coaches coming into the industry, you know, into the business, and it's forcing good managers, coaches, physicians or whatever further down the leagues, and there's some real competent good people down there. At the same time, the quality of the pitches has remarkably improved, so you actually get a real high standard of football. Right. Well, depending, obviously, you've got to look at the level. If you go and see a tool station, you know, Worksop Town, whatever it is, you have to, judge your critique, should we say, to that level. But you go down the conference, and I reckon go down Conference North, Conference South, most of those teams on the day will beat a League One, League Two side.
Guys, this is why you're panicking about Oxford and...
Well, no, and I'm not panicking about it. Because I believe... Because you look at Guiseley, you mentioned Guiseley, but, I mean, last year we saw them play Lincoln, didn't we, in the FA Cup?
Yeah.
They took Lincoln to a replay, and Lincoln struggled to get past them. So they could have been out in the first round, you know, literally last year.
Fine line, isn't it?
We saw Guiseley, Accrington Stanley, second, third in the League Two.
Yeah,
exactly. Riding High played their first team, their best team. Guiseley went down to 10 men, were losing, and still came back to draw, went through extra time, won on penalties. Thoroughly deserved, you know, so Guiseley, what, fourth off the bottom? Conference,
yeah,
fourth, you know, fourth, I mean, the quality is there. And Oxford City, don't write them off.
So what is the gap then between the National League, as they insist on calling it now, and Division 2? Is it just that extra little bit of fitness?
I think the main thing is consistency, Mike, because what you get is that you get the players that are good, but consistently can't do it. Quite a few of the teams now in the National League have all gone full-time. Even Guiseley gone full-time to try and stay in it. So if you look at the bottom of the table, the most are the part-time teams. But it's a consistency level, and I think they'll find, the Cowleys will tell you this at Lincoln, the league teams are more organised, they're more professional, because they're doing it day in, day out. Whereas you've got lads who are probably just reading today, Truro in the last week have done 1,700 miles on the road.
Truro, you see, Tony. Truro.
I used to report on Guiseley in the early 1980s when they were in Northern Counties East.
Won the FA Vars 1 year as well.
But, you know, I mean, the point, what we've said on here, is that when Flo Serve played Dunkirk, the difference became apparent in the last 20 minutes.
Yeah.
When Grantham Town played Chorley in the Trophy, the difference was in the last 20 minutes.
Yeah.
Organisation, fitness, whatever. Just, I'm going to quickly move on here because I don't want time to run out. Some of these grounds that you've got down here, just a little bit about them. One of the big success stories of this season is Shore Lane Association. Mm. Now you've been there. They've lost their manager to Boston United, haven't they?
Yeah, he's gone there. He's been successful, three or four promotions. They play at Athersley Rec now because their ground obviously wasn't up to standard for the league they're in. Bit of an unusual ground, to say the least. We've got the press box where you can't see out the one. You can't see the one corner.
Yeah, but if he was in it, wouldn't matter, would it?
He wouldn't get into it.
It's a shed, isn't it? If it was a shed, wasn't it? On halfway line.
A go-ahead chairman there who's put some money into it, and he's always round about the ground during the game. He's up and down, round, keeping an eye on everything. And he's a young, enthusiastic person who wants to put his money into it, a bit like a. Manager of Billericay,
so
who we saw at Brackley.
If they're going to go up Shore Lane, can they go up if it's not their ground? Or is somebody going to say, you haven't got your own ground?
Well, Forest haven't got their own ground. It's leased to the City Council, isn't it?
Well, true, but can you ground share as you go up through the non-league.
We can yeah. do as long as it abides by the rules
of the yeah. league that you participate.
Okay. Another success story, and a bit closer to home, is Cleethorpes Town.
Yeah, we've seen them a couple of. We saw them at the final at Wembley last year.
We saw the semi-final as well. One of the worst games you can imagine because they scored in the first minute. And the opposition tried 89 minutes in the wind on
Cleethorpes.
But no, they're a good side. You know, they played well, organised.
But look at that, you mentioned again, another part of what you said earlier, talking about, you know, the you went to the North East with...
Well, I was just going to say that to you, Chris. Why are the North East teams, North Shield, South Shield, Whitley Bay, Newcastle, Benfield, so much stronger? If you look at the FA... Vars
that have many times last
there's
few years.
There's nothing in it from this area.
No.
Yet you get to the last 16 and it's going to be full of North East sides. Yeah. Why?
Well, South Shields did have a Julio Arca play
for them. Well, yes.
I think the thing is, Mark, that they're playing a league below themselves. They obviously don't want the travelling. You know, It was a couple of hours. You can imagine South Shields to Manchester on a midweek for lads working. A commitment for the odd games in a season, and that's what we found. They're a lot stronger, they're organised, they've got good support. South Shields, we went, got 1800 for a game, so they've got the support there, but it's a travelling and they're playing at a league that they should be playing a league above.
So
it all ties in. I mean, we're talking about consistency, you're talking about, you know, players wanting to play for the club, they don't want the travel, part-time, full-time. Yeah. This is why a lot of these clubs can actually do it against these League 1, League 2 sides, if they pick them on the right day. I mean, fitness is the key here. Fitness is the key, but... We're talking about that South Shields. You talk about Cleethorpes Town. You talk about we went to Mask, didn't we? They were playing Shildon. Now, there's another very, very good side.
Good football first half.
Excellent football played, and that went into extra time, didn't it?
Yeah.
And stuff. But as I said, the standard is really, really high, and the fitness levels are building and building and building as well. So, it's not as clear cut as it used to be.
You look, the well supported clubs, Spennymoor, Blyth Spartans, they're doing well in the National League North this year. They've gone up, but obviously they've got the funding behind them because they're getting the crowds to support them.
Spennymoor beat Cleethorpes, didn't they, in the trophy, and now they're playing. Is it Boston?
No, Gainsborough.
Gainsborough, aren't they?
But Gainsborough did them earlier in the year, though. So,
One team that's not going so well, this is the other side of the coin, if you like, it is North Ferriby. And North Ferriby, you've been to
a couple of times.
And North Ferriby sort of threw the league, didn't they? I saw them against Grantham two or three seasons ago, and it was so much better than what I mean. It was all 6'10" tall and square shoulders, but they seem to have hit a wall now, though.
This is recent. I didn't see the hand gestures there, did you? It's about money. The Allams, I think it was, from Hull, had put money into it.
The son-in-law, Allams' son-in-law.
It's a great story. I mean, we're at Wembley when we saw Ferriby beat Wrexham in the trophy final there. I mean, what a day's story.
2-0 down.
2-0 down. You know, this at the time was a conference north side at the time, knocking, you know, beating a Wrexham team that, okay, they were in, you know, obviously it's the trophy, so it's the lower leagues, but it's a nice place to go, so that's why we've gone a few times, you know. It's about money. It's a village that's like size of Colliam. Yeah.
I think it's 4,000 people.
And again, once the money runs out, you can't afford to bring those players in from the Manchesters, the Leeds, and the Sheffields. You know, they have to attract more local players, and they're not there.
We talk about money right at the top of the tree, and I mean, we've all got our thoughts on what that sort of money has done to football. It's money that counts at this level, though, as well. The level that you go and watch, the level that I love so much, and Tony loves so much, we're talking about now. Money is counting at that, and the next club I'm going to mention to prove the point, Basford United. Because I've watched Basford United with Simpsons when they played on Mill Lane, and it was the worst football pitch I've seen in my life. Chris Munro has turned that into
it's 3G now.
A star-studded setup, and it looks very much like they're going to be playing Grantham next season.
Are they still top? Yeah, I think they might
be. Yeah, they are still top, yeah.
So money does.
Well, it does if you get the facilities. See, again, you see, you're talking about attracting players, aren't you? If you've got those facilities and you have a chairman that's ambitious and just a little bit of cash in there, you will do it. If you go in with lots of cash, you've got to back it up with lots of cash. AFC filed, you mentioned earlier. Exactly, you know, pointed question. If one of that man took his money out, which, you know, he always said that Blackpool's his first team, if he could buy it, he would do. If he pulled out of Fylde, that would collapse. However, if you put a moderate amount of money into a moderate sort of level club, you will take them up those leagues to a point.
This is, should interest you with Flowserve, because somebody has got to put an awful lot of money into Flowserve if they're going to go anywhere.
Well, we saw pitches.
Yeah.
1-1. You've got to invest.
We saw what happened at Retford United, where a local businessman had put a load of money in and suddenly went, nah, I think I'll actually go and live in the West Indies. And Retford United went, whoa, hang on. And then suddenly all their plans collapsed in a pile of dust.
I think the point with the money makers at Ferriby, that when Ferriby went up, Billy Heath, the manager who took them up, went to Halifax, where obviously it's a renowned non-league team and football league team, and he took several of his players with him, and although they were playing a division below, he then had a success with Halifax and has taken Halifax up. So the players go, you bring in new players in with perhaps a little less money. Unfortunately, money is the key, and we're finding with all the foreign players coming in, the players are filtering from the league into the non-league. If you look at when we saw Billericay and Brackley, Foley, Kevin Foley, ex-Wolves, Konchesky.
Paul Konchesky, yeah.
Although he's packed up now, Pennant was there, although he didn't play, he was on the bench.
Pennant, yeah, of course.
So that's a case of an individual putting a lot of money in.
This is a Billericay man, isn't it?
It's a Billericay, yeah. Yeah.
But it has to stay there. I mean, there's a level now, isn't it? It's just like, when you talk about the Premiership, the Championship, you know, the teams that have yo-yoed up into the Premier now will never sort of lose. If they do get relegated, they won't leave the Championship because there's just so much money there to attract players. So it's very, very difficult for other teams to compete against these because that level of money, that consistent level of money, will keep them at that level where everyone else has to fight to get up there. You know, it is. If you overstretch yourself, you will fail. If you don't overstretch yourself, the quality of the players, quality of the pitches, and the atmospheres and everything else, a lot of these teams in the lower leagues can match League One, League Two. Now,
that's where it comes to your attendance. If you look at clubs like in the National League South, if you compare those attendances against those in the North, I think last week, I think there was at least seven over 1,000 in the North, and in the South there wasn't one. The nearest was about 800. So if you're bringing it through, South Shields getting a lot of people through, that they can sustain that because it's not an individual, it's the club that's providing it.
And the catchment area is there. Like you say about Truro a bit later on, I think I may have got this wrong, but I understand they've got one Cornishman playing for them. They pick up the players, their home matches are away because they're picking up the players in Plymouth and Exeter. But that's how you have to do it.
I went to see FC United versus Salford City, and there was about 4,200 there.
Yeah.
Incredible turnout.
Tremendous attendances.
So does it always go according to plan then?
No. A few little hiccups on the way, Michael. We've had
roadworks.
Oh, yeah, there's no roadworks. Check the AA site. Yeah, we didn't realise there's a music festival going on, we're not going to get there in time for kickoff, but.
Yeah.
There's that are called mini adventures, isn't it? You go to places and you just sort of find yourself in places maybe you shouldn't be, like Reading's training facilities. How we walked into that one,
Biggle Suede, where they've got three teams and we turn up at one of the teams that we weren't looking for or if we went when you go to Shore Lane, the entrance to Shore Lane.
Yes. Or crotches.
You turn up and now they're playing at Athersley. There's a little sign which says Football Club.
Yeah. Sorry. No, no, so I thought you meant when I was struggling to get into the shore lane.
Trying to find it. And we thought, well, it can't be down there, so we park up the road and walk down. And yes, it was down there, down a little narrow road, wasn't it? Well, it wasn't even a road, really.
What's the planning that goes into it, then? I mean, do you just get there on a Saturday morning and, you know, one picks the other up and says, oh, OK, this is where we're going? Or is this all sort of pre-planned? Is it a bit of a sort of a military operation?
No, not military at all. What do you fancy?
Yeah, look at the non-league paper on a Sunday and see.
Who decides, then?
It's joint.
Yeah.
I mean, the league ones we tend to spend a bit longer deciding, because some of them you may need tickets, you know, obviously to. But I mean, like the Accrington Stanley, it was, you know, it was a FA Cup replay, wasn't it? Yeah. So we knew it wasn't going to be many there. Let's drive up, you know.
And Cambridge on Saturday was Bostic South or Bostic East, first versus second, as it turned out. Mm. Cambridge second in the table against Moneyfields, who hadn't lost a game. Wasn't a great deal on, and it's only an hour and a half down the road. Good game.
Do you go? This is a stupid question, but there you go. Is it? What's the highlight? What's the highlight of the day? Actually, being to the ground and ticked it off in the book, or actually watching the football? Is the football sometimes secondary to the?
No, never is.
You really see where I'm trying to come from?
Yeah.
I mean, the thing is, no. I mean, you sound like, oh, well, we're ticking off grounds. Well, we're not really. I mean, if you look at there are grounds we've been to two or three times.
I noticed there's some grounds that you seem to like.
Well, yeah. I mean, I love Harrogate. I love going to watch Harrogate play. You know, their new pitch. We think we've been there this year. Can't remember now.
You have
sort of Salford.
Yeah. Salford.
Best game of the season.
Yeah, it's
cracking game.
Yeah, you know, it's not a case of that. It's a case of looking at things. You know, I mean, we've been to Ossett Town this year. You know, in just out near Wakefield there. That was an FA Cup replay. You know, there's quite a lot there that's just, well, looking at that. I mean, God, Manchester Rovers, you know, you think to yourself, that was one on a whim, wasn't it? That's about the only one I can see that was on a whim, because you've always liked the name God Manchester.
Appeals to me.
I'm going to watch them sometime. And they were playing the team at the top of the table, weren't they? Yeah, and the team at the top of the table were Felixstowe, wasn't
it? So, when we come back off this little break, I just want to know what's on the bucket list. You know, the grounds that you really do want to go and do, and how far are you going to travel to watch football? Radio Newark. So we said before the break, you know, is it well thought out? Is it a military operation? And it's not quite a military operation, but how do you pick that game looks better than that game, and that's going to be rubbish, and potentially that's not?
Well, we tend to have a look, one, at league positions and see where the teams are going, and then to compare the difference, whether you get the Bostic South as against the Bostic North or either Stick North, and to see the comparison between the quality, whereas in the South they tend to play a lot of football along the ground, where the Northern teams are very strong physically, and although they're playing good football, you do get the football forward pretty quickly. But there's been some really good games in the North. Salford versus Harrogate this season was a cracking game. From the first minute to the last, players got on with the ball, 3D pitch, never in the air. And the other thing, that it was refereed excellently by the ref, who let the game flow, and obviously the assessor wasn't sitting in the stands that night.
Yeah, because that's the... no, we ain't got time for that one. Yeah, it could be a long night.
Jerry came with us that night, Mick.
you've not been to Whitney Bay yet?
No. So we've been to Whitby.
We've been to Whitby.
That's not Whitley Bay, is it?
No, it isn't Whitley Bay.
But you need to go to Hillhead. So I'll come along with you tonight when you go to Hillhead. So
they've won the Vars a few times.
Yes, they have.
They've won these famous northeast sides. Yeah.
So what is the bucket list then? Where would you like to go?
I want to finish the 92 eventually. You know, there are a few clubs I've not been to I really do want to go to. Usually... Well, you mentioned the Amex earlier. I've heard that's a very nice ground. I know you said it. You know, why is this in the top 10?
Well, I only said why is it in the top 10 because it's a brand new ground.
Brand new ground.
To me, doesn't warrant.
But I like the characterful grounds. I love the Rochdales of this world and stuff. So I mean,
an old fashioned.
Yeah, I do. You know, there's a few there. I've long distance one I've never been to. I think I suppose it's Camp Bristol Rovers because I suppose they keep moving around, don't they?
Does it have to be an out and back in a day then, or?
Yeah, but generally speaking, that's a I think when you look at it, you think, well, crikey, you know, some of these are miles and miles away. But you go to Marsk, which is near Middlesbrough away. Yeah. I mean, you're back in
no,
7 o'clock at night, you know.
Coming back's not a problem.
Really, based 2.5 hours from here.
Yeah, that's it, 2.5 hours, you know, to right up there. So, you know, they're not that far. I mean, you can get to Wembley in 2 hours, for heaven's sake, you know. You can, if you plan your journeys, do a lot of these grounds north. I mean, east and west is becoming better now with the new new road. Roads. North and south is easy.
Do you find London is a problem. Getting further away from New York?
I think we're having to now because of the local ones that we've done. But obviously, we tend to do the further, you know, when it's a little bit warmer. We don't fancy, you know, going off to Morecambe in the middle of winter.
I've got pictures from the daughter of Whitley Bay, and you won't be playing football there tonight because there's about 3 inches of snow.
Yeah.
So what's the weekend?
I'm afraid I've got other commitments this weekend, so Pat's
I'm just surveying the scenery. It was perhaps going to be Knox County. I don't think I've been there this year, but it depends.
If it's one on your own, then do you do sort of local? I mean, you're not going to jump in the car and travel 200 miles.
No, I mean, there's a few weeks ago I was... Yeah, I would do. I mean, to do my 92, because Pat's played in a lot of places that I haven't been to. I mean, the Oldhams and the Port Vales of this world. There's a couple of weeks ago there was Pat was unavailable because he was looking after the lads, weren't you? The Collingham lads. I nearly went to Port Vale, but it was just such a late decision that I didn't in the end. But I would do, but
I can't. No, I tend to stay local. I prefer, you know, a bit of company if I'm going that distance.
It's a long day on your own.
Well, it's better we sit there talking about games and who's going to do what and who's going to get sacked if they lose. And
where's the next joint trip then?
We haven't planned it, have we?
We don't plan it that far in advance. Yeah.
Right? I've got Carl coming home for Christmas.
Lovely.
Yeah, it is. But he's going back on New Year's Day. That's handy, isn't it? He's done it. Drop him off at Heathrow at 11.
All right.
We can pick anywhere up around there on New Year's Day. Yeah. So that'll be a new ground down there.
Staines Town.
Staines.
Have a look to see if Staines are there.
AFC Wimbledon, I think, at home. They're not far away from
Great. Well, I'm glad you're both still enjoying it. And, you know, we'll drag you back again in a few months' time to have another update on these trips. How many of these 92 have you done, Christopher?
I've just done over 70 now, so I'm catching up. There's a lot of I've been to that I need to revisit. So the old grounds, I need to revisit the new grounds.
So what do you think is going to be the last thing? Which is the one that you're going to be... Oh, have I got to go to Swansea or something like that?
It's one I have to wait to get a mortgage on. I think it'll either be the Emirates or the Etihad, one of those, I think, you know. But, or St Mary's. It's a long way away, isn't it?
Did Portsmouth?
Oh, yeah.
Did the old Southampton ground,
the Dell, for a night match
with Forest in a cup replay. Now, you go for a night match at the Dell, that is a long way with work in the morning.
Was that a 1-0? Gary Burton was having a winning. I was there that night. He could have had a lift.
Oh, that was a hell of a... And it was so foggy coming back over the... What a night. Gents, thank you so much for coming in. We're going to give you a bit of a test next time you come in, because we're going to sort of write down some of these old names of these grounds, so you're not going to get away with it quite so easy next time, because Tony's going to do a bit of work for me, and thanks, Tony. We're going to write down a few of these names, because when you mentioned Rochdale, is it Rochdale's ground is
Spotland?
You see, did you know that?
Yeah,
good lad. See, you 25 years for nothing, was it?
No, but financially, yes.
So, Chris and Pat, thank you so much for coming in. And that does end another week on Radio Newark Sport. Next week, it's going to be a little bit different, because it's going to be...
Sports Awards.
Yes, it's the Sports Awards week. So, Monday and Tuesday, we're here at Barnby Road, but we're not actually in the studio, because we're... on the complex somewhere. Wednesday and Thursday, don't say Wednesday and Thursday, we're actually out and about, we're on the road, we're taking the show to a couple of local clubs, so we look forward to meeting that, which is a secret for them, and it's I don't know what I'm doing, so it's a secret for us.
It's a secret for me. I haven't told you either.
So next week it's Sports Awards. The week after that it's back to normal with our guests, and we also start before the sports show with the school choirs as Christmas really comes about, so we look forward to that immensely. But for this week, enjoy your sport, whatever you're going to do at the weekend. Wrap up warm
and tell us all about it next week. Chris, Pat and Tony, thank you so much for coming in. Thank you for being Radio Newark Sport. Bye-bye.
Radio Newark Sport, brought to you with Smith's Timber Merchants for all your fencing, decking and DIY needs on Appleton Gate, Newark. Visit smithstimber.co.uk.